self-reflective.
That blue represents millions of dollars and countless jobs.
Fill yourself up and keep your cup full.
Also, I believe in shea butter as a core value.
There's a supreme moment of destiny.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Styling Soul Podcast, your home at the intersection of style and wellness, where we bring you inspiration for your style and wellness for your soul. I am your host, Kendra Monet. And how are y'all doing? How are you doing? Are you taking care of yourself? Are you feeling good? Are you barely holding it together? Whatever the case is, I know it's week 511 of quarantine. Well, it's not quarantine because people are out here now. So it's more like suggested social distancing at this point, but I hope you're doing well, and I am doing very well. I'm content. Now, I am not only content because things are just easy peasy, even though they actually are really smooth right now, but I'm content because I am making a deliberate effort not to see happiness as a far off destination. I actually recently wrote a blog post about this whole idea of contentment on thestylingsoul.com, which I really encourage you to read if this is something that you've been struggling with a bit. And it was all inspired by Priscelles Dominguez. She is the founder of The Full Garden and The Full Collective. And she actually has her own podcast that she started recently called Yes and Amen. It's a faith-based podcast and it's so encouraging. But yeah, so the idea of contentment has really been on my heart lately. And I'm choosing not to only be content, but also to celebrate my journey. We all know that life has highs and lows, but who else can relate to not fully being present in the highs because we're so afraid that something will go wrong again or that it's just too good to be true? We have no choice but to ride out our lows, so we might as well embrace our highs for all the goodness that they have to offer. When your relationships are healthy and your skin is clear and your hair is growing and you're eating good food or whatever it is that makes you happy, be happy about it unapologetically. When you get a new job or a raise or when you finally launch that business or get engaged or have a baby, whatever it is that your heart desires and you receive it, celebrate. When did we learn to be more comfortable with discomfort than times of ease? See, lately, I've been really, really busy, but I've also been really, really happy. And I'm going to choose to revel in this state as long as it lasts. And when disappointment comes knocking at my door, as it often does, I won't be too moved by that because remember, the key is contentment. And that's not caused by outward factors. So if I do experience disappointment, I'll strive for joy again. There's a song called Hills and Valleys. It's a Christian song that I like. And it says, "In the mountains, I will bow my life to the one who set me there. In the valley, I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. And when I'm walking through the valley, I know I am not alone." What does this mean? It means that when things are great, I am grateful. And it means that when things are not great, I am grateful. That is contentment. Celebrate your highs because unfortunately they don't last forever. And be patient and hopeful during the lows because guess what? Those don't last forever either. Someone that I know, a dear friend of mine, who has navigated the highs and lows of life so graciously is my friend Hope Frazier. She has lived a lot of life before reaching her 30th birthday, and she's done a very good job of manifesting the life that she deserves, because guess what, y'all? We deserve, right? So I'm so excited to chat with her about contentment, about loving where you are, and about manifesting where you want to be. But first, it's industry tea time.
The tea is exceptionally good today. Who made this? Very delicious. Hold on.
First, in fashion news, Vogue has revealed its September covers. And yes, I say covers because there are two of them and both are commissioned paintings. You know, I guess it was a good choice, especially since we're social distancing now. The last cover with Simone Biles was actually shot in February before social distancing began. So Vogue had to get creative and they commissioned these beautiful paintings. One is by Kerry James Marshall. And the other is by Jordan Castile, which is a portrait of Brother Valley's founder, Aurora James. Now, Kerry James Marshall is 62 years old. He has a seriously large body of work, and he's been doing his thing for a while. He is living history, and to get one of his pieces is practically impossible. For reference, Diddy recently purchased one of his famous pieces for $21 million. Yeah. If you're not familiar with him, I highly encourage you to take a dive into his work. But Jordan Castile, she's a young woman, just 31 years old, and I looked into her work and it's so beautiful and just moving. The theme of this September issue is hope, and I think it's Vogue's attempt at changing the narrative, especially after Anna Wintour admitted to publishing images that were quote unquote hurtful and intolerant, and she pledged to do better. As part of this doing better, Vogue has committed to the 15% pledge, which means they've literally pledged that 15% of its contributors and brand partnerships will be from Black creators moving forward. This is honorable. A lot of brands have taken this 15% pledge, and I'm happy to see it happen, but it's also showing how, wow, people really didn't pay attention to Black people before. And I'm not going to get bitter about it. I'm not going to be upset about it. I'm not even going to rant about it. But I will say that things that Black people create can be for everybody. Just because there's a cast of a movie and it's majority Black people, it doesn't mean that others can enjoy it. And I think that society is finally getting to that place. But before I die on that hill, I digress. I can't wait to get my Vogue in the mail because, hey, print is not dead. Get that physical copy. And I love a good coffee table edition, and these two covers will definitely look good in my living room. In beauty news, Jennifer Lopez has announced a new beauty line called JLo Beauty, and it looks like it's going to be a cosmetics line because she posted a selfie wearing makeup, something like Sunset Glow or something like that, and she is one of many celebrities entering the beauty game. Jessica Alba did it a long time ago with Honest Beauty, which is actually a really good brand. And then we have Gwyneth Paltrow with Goop, and more recently, Taraji P. Henson with her hair care line, and Tracee Ellis Ross with Pattern Beauty. And then we have Gabrielle Union with her hair care line. And of course, we have Rihanna with Fenty Beauty, which ended up being a great makeup brand. And now she's ventured into Fenty Skin, which is still up for debate. But I mean, it's all a lot, right? I'm definitely not hating because, hey, the sky is big enough for everyone. If you want to do something and it's within your means, do it. But at the same time, it's important not to just be driven by celebrity when you're making your consumer choices. Do your research and, most importantly, buy what you need. I haven't tried Fenty Skin yet because guess what? I have a skincare routine that I love already, and I don't need another product to shove into my cabinet. If that space does open up and I'm on the market for something new, then maybe I'll consider going to a new brand. There's a lot of fluff out there, you know? So stay focused. Finally, we have a New York Fashion Week update courtesy of Governor Cuomo. With September around the corner, all fingers point to Fashion Week and Fashion Month because after New York, the shows continue. But Andrew Cuomo said that the shows can, in fact, continue in the face of COVID-19. And New York has really been setting the stage for how to deal with COVID-19. And with Fashion Week being first in New York on the global calendar, I think New York City will really be an example for how other countries can do their Fashion Week too, even though they have handled the coronavirus a lot better than we have. But this is going to make Fashion Week more exclusive than ever. Many designers will choose to show digitally, of course, but there will be an allowance of open-air events with a capacity of 50 spectators. Indoor events will be focused on media production, and several brands have said that they're going to participate, like Alice and Olivia, Christian Siriano, and Rebecca Minkoff, just to name a few. While a lot of the other brands are saying that they're going to find a creative way to show later in the year. So either way, the New York Fashion Week bubble was bound to burst soon. You know, the fashion calendar was just too fast for many brands to even be profitable. And a lot of shows have become a circus of bloggers and influencers. And it's unsure if it was really worth the money anyway. So it's interesting to see how this will shape the future of fashion shows. So I guess we'll have to wait until September comes to figure it out. But of course, I'll have the tea on that too.
Lemony. Best day of tea since the show began.
All right, so I have on the line with me Hope Frazier today, who I'm so excited to talk to. Hope is definitely a person that I have really watched go through the highs and lows of life with grace. And not only that, but she's really done a good job also of now being a place where she is manifesting the life that she wants. And I'm definitely a firm believer of why not me, and I can have whatever my heart desires. So thank you, Hope, so much. Welcome to the Styling Soul Podcast. So happy
thank
to have you.
Thank you for having me, Kendra.
Oh, okay. And I obviously left out a major part. So Hope is one of my girls. We have been friends since 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah, girl. I was like, hold on 1 second, because that introduction was like super crisp. And I'm like, oh, well, do I have to put this voice on? Or
No, girl. Hope is from Alabama by way of South Carolina. And actually, just talking to you, you're bringing out my Southern twang more.
Yes, girl. Okay, so now I can relax my voice a little bit.
No, relax. This is an authentic place.
Yes,
this is an authentic place.
Yes, for the safe place.
So Hope has been my friend. Hope has been my friend since we were 8 or 9 years old. We have truly, truly done life together. And I would even say that one thing I love about our friendship is that we're definitely the type of friends who, if one of us gets, if we get caught up in our lives for a bit, it's no love lost. I can talk to you in 2 months, in 3 months, in 5 months, and it's all good. I love that.
I know. I love that about you as well, because it's never any pressure. Everything is always so organic. It's so real. It's so down to earth. And that is a beautiful thing. Most people don't have that. So I'm blessed to have you in my life as well.
It's a blessing. And also, Hope is like a whole prophet out here. Hope has been having vision, dreams, and all of that since we were kids. But let's get into your story, Hope. So give me a bit of your background. Tell me who, in your own words, who you are and where you are today.
All right. So my name is Hope, and I believe that I am my name. Ever since I was a little girl, I have always kind of had a motherly spirit. I've always kind of just been, you know, a little ahead of my years. I'm Hope. I'm literally Hope. And I am a mother. I am a wife. I am a friend. I am a niece, a mom. I am everything that you are. I mean, so it's nothing, I guess, too special about me. I'm just a regular person doing life and trying to figure it out as I go, you know, like everybody else in this world.
So Hope, you have always been someone that I've seen be super unapologetic about what you want, whether that was we were 14 and you had this boyfriend that you were sure about, or whether that was you just going for your dreams. You've always gone for it. So I want to talk a little bit about the art of bounce back, because, you know, earlier I was talking a bit about highs and lows of life. You can share as much or as little of your story as you want to, but how have you been able to bounce back from life events with such grace and such ease? Because you really, if you sweat, like, people do not see you sweat.
Wow. Look, that's deep, KB, because I did not realize
it's loaded.
That. But child, I have done a lot of perspiring, okay? but to know that a lot have not been able to see it, I mean, that's a great thing. But okay, so pretty much, I don't mind being transparent with you because you're my girl, and I want this to be, you know, girl talk.
Like, right.
I want it to be as organic as possible, so I don't mind opening up. You know, if anything, it'll bless somebody. So,
right.
Long story short, like Kendra said, I've always been kind of ahead of my years. I've always been, you know, I don't know, the optimistic friend, but also the friend that kind of, you know, keeps her friends in line, like the motherly friend. And mm-hmm. at a very young age, I thought that I was ready, you know, for marriage. And I was about 17 years old, 17, no, not 17. I was about 19 years old when I met, you know, this gentleman. And I thought that he was supposed to be my husband. We actually broke up. and got back together. So, you know, that was kind of a warning sign mm-hmm. for me. But I kind of disregarded it because, you know, surely this is the guy I'm supposed to be
this
with.
This is the fairy tale.
Right.
Of course.
Exactly. So surely, like, I've got it all figured out. I'm 19. I'm grown. I know what I'm doing here. Wrong. So, no sweat or anything, but ended up not being the person for me. I did marry the gentleman. We ended up having a child during our marriage. So I thought, okay, I did it the right way. God has to bless me. The Lord said what God has put together, let no man put under. But clearly God didn't put that together. So that did not count. And I had to figure that out a little bit later in life. When my son was 6 months old, got a divorce at the age of 22 years old. I went from being a stay-at-home mom, military wife, to a single mother. It was a huge transition. Fast forward almost 7 years later, I'm now married to the man that I know that, you know, God has for me. In between that time, I became a property manager, a district property manager, making great money, doing great as a single mother for my son and I. And when I became in alignment with God himself, that's when God decided to bring my husband, the man I was supposed to be with in my path. And now we are happily married. We're newlyweds. We've been married for a little over a year now, and everything's great. We're in alignment, and I've totally bounced back financially, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, romantically. And God has really just revealed his true self to me in the process. So it's a beautiful thing.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love that you said romantically, mentally, financially, emotionally, because I do believe that we can holistically be well. You know, I think that wellness has really it's become like a buzzword. It's trendy to talk about wellness. And a lot of the time we're talking about our yoga or our smoothies but there's so much more to being well. It truly is holistic. And a lot of the times the ways to get there isn't always so pretty, but man, when you arrive, like, so good.
That's
so
a beautiful thing.
You know, Hope, I wish that now being older and understanding that transition, I know you had exactly who you needed to have around you during that time. But man, I was in college. I was just so young and not where you were mentally to even understand what you were going through.
Right.
You know, I know we talked about it and, you know, I had your back, quote unquote, but I couldn't even fathom what it was like to be so young and divorced. But also I was super proud of you for doing what you needed to do for your wellness. You could have stayed.
Right.
And not been well.
Right.
How was making that decision and then walking forward in that for you?
It was hard. It was hard because, like you said, we've known each other since we were children. And, you know, we were kind of brought up with the same principles. During that time, my parents had probably been married 20 plus years. You know, divorce was not really a part of my vocabulary. The family I was closest to, it's a very rare thing to hear, but none of them had ever been divorced. And so I was like, dang, like I'm only like less than a year in it, like 6 months in it. And I'm feeling like I made a bad decision. So it was really hard because I battled with, what is my family going to think about me? What are my friends going to think? Am I going to let other people down? And I had to say, you know, Hope, you got to look out for you, girl. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, what kind of mom are you going to be if you're not happy? And I was in an abusive kind of situation. So I knew that that wasn't what God had for me, because even though I had seen people around me growing up go through highs and lows, it wasn't, you know, physically abusive or, you know, it wasn't as deep as what I was going through during that time. So it was hard, but I was at peace with it because I knew I was doing the right thing. And it totally shows now, for sure.
It does. And now your relationship is just a light. I can see that you guys are for each other. It makes me so happy.
Yes, we really are. I'm like truly in love. And it's a beautiful thing to be with someone that you know is just as much, if not more, in love with you than you are with them. Man, like that is a beautiful thing. And I'm so grateful that I went through what I went through, because I would not have met, you know, who I'm with now. And it's a beautiful thing.
It is. And I'm definitely very, especially my time in New York City has made me really appreciate the whole single independence, paving your own way, not being worried or pressed for a relationship and all of that. And I think that that is great. And that's why we all have to focus on our own journeys and not compare ourselves to where somebody else is, because what's perfect for someone else in this season might not be perfect for you in this season. But at the same time, I think there is a lot of value and a lot of purpose in being in a healthy relationship and in having a healthy marriage and also being devoting yourself to being a mother. So how was it for you? How is it for you? You're the first out of the pack to be wife and mom. And I know that it's a journey where there's some things that your mom friends can only get.
Right.
So how is that right now for you?
It's amazing. You know, it's been a lot of sacrifice, but really sacrifice is ultimately just surrendering a possession as an offering for God, you know, or to God. And
oh, say that again.
Sacrifice is pretty much just ultimately surrendering a possession as an offering to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. And motherhood is full of sacrifice. And KB, the thing that I've sacrificed the most is myself.
Mm.
You know, when you hear the word sacrifice in this day and age, in this time, when you talk about, you know, millennials and things of that nature, it kind of has like a negative vibration or connotation, because in this age, we're like, I want to get it as fast as I can. I want to spend it. And then I want to get it back faster than I spent it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the society that we live in right now. But if you really put things in perspective, anytime you've heard of any good book, any good movie that requires sacrifice, there were always good things that came along with it, you know, right. Because sacrifice was ultimately just the opportunity for greatness. So, you know, for example, God sacrificed his son and look what came out of it, you know, forgiveness for sins. And Mary sacrificed her name. Because they came up to Mary, I'm sure, like, girl, you know, an angel didn't impregnate you, you know, you know. So when I became pregnant with my son, even during those trying times, what kept me was I understood what sacrifice was. And I understood that, you know, anytime you sacrifice yourself, something good pretty much has to come out of it, you know, and the results that came with it was a beautiful thing, because God began to show me the true nature of him and myself, and that I had the power that was already within him and me. And I would not have ever dug deeper into life during my earlier years. I didn't have to sacrifice anything. I had cars, you know, I had probably went through two cars, you know, mm-hmm. in high school. I had clothes, I had shoes, I had makeup, I had everything I wanted. I didn't ever have to sacrifice anything. So like you were saying, during that time, it was probably kind of unrelatable to you because you were like in a different space, but you're still my friend. But during that time, it was God saying, okay, Hope, it's time to give up something for something, if that makes any sense.
Mm, yes.
It's time to give up something for something. And it's really truly led me to where I am today. And I don't mean to go on and on, but
go on, girl.
Girl, it's beautiful, because I don't believe that if my son would not have come into my life's experience when he did, I would not have manifested my current husband or my current situation. I would be in a totally different space. And it's really beautiful. I mean, I know I keep saying beautiful, But there's beauty in sacrifice. And that's where I was, and that's where I am now. And now I get excited about it, girl, because I know you can't receive anything beautiful without sacrifice. And it's been proven time and time again. And now I'm not saying just go out and get impregnated now. You know, I'm not, because it really is a beautiful thing. But, you know, if you do it in decency and order, it really is an amazing thing. It takes you to a different place. So, yeah.
Now that was a great perspective on sacrifice, because sometimes even now I can be like, I don't want to sacrifice this weekend picnic because I have work to do, or I don't want to sacrifice not ordering delivery. I've said this so many times, so I'm really like giving away how much I order takeout. But I don't want to sacrifice ordering takeout to be more in line with my budget. But when you look at it, like the way that you just put it, that sacrifice is really just giving an opportunity for something great to happen. That allows you to get excited about your sacrifice.
Yes.
Girl, I could run around my apartment.
Yeah, go, girl, run. You know I got you, girl.
I know that I'm in a season where there are some things I do need to sacrifice, and it's nothing major. It's mainly just my focus, or it's being about being deliberate about where I put my time and where I put my money, about where I put my effort. But those small sacrifices are really all just setting me up for more success and for beautiful things. So that was great. That's a great takeaway right there. So I also want to touch into womanhood and the sacrifice that is motherhood and how they can live in the same place. I mean, so you have how old is baby Will?
Baby Will is 3 months old.
Oh, you love him so much.
I had to say it like that. That's the best way that I can put it, girl, because he's just so ushy and gushy. Girl, I just love it. I'm just, I'm loving it. But I have a 3-month-old and a 7-year-old, almost 7-year-old, excuse me.
Yes, so you have a blended family.
Yes,
and your oldest son, he loves your husband like that's his natural born father.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. They just love each other. Girl, before the podcast started, he's like, Dad, can we play Madden? And, you know, I'm just like, I'm so glad that I have him to fill that gap now, because Brian would come to me about Madden and he'd be playing. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what's happening. So I'm not even gonna front, you know. So he fills that gap for sure.
Oh, my goodness. And you had to be in that space of faith for a while when that wasn't the case. I do want to get into the sacrifice of motherhood and your femininity. And how are you feeling right now? You're still in the postpartum season. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling in your body, in your friendships, in your marriage? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, girl. I'm feeling really good because I have made a decision, a personal decision, that life is going to be great. You know, and when you have made that personal decision within you, like nothing can deter that, because like I said, either things are going to go great or you're going to have some sacrifice. And like we just talked about, sacrifice leads to greatness. So even when there's a bump in the road, it can't really go awry because I know that good is coming. So girl, I'm in a great space. I am in a great space right now in every area and every aspect of my life. So I did experience a little bit of postpartum depression. And that's a real thing. You know, people really kind of shy away from that, especially in our community. They don't really like to talk about it. And I will say for the first couple of weeks after, I did feel that way. And at one point I said, you know what, I need to just totally unplug from and recenter and meditate and get intentional again about where I want to be. And so now that I've kind of overcome that hump, I don't have that issue anymore. You have to be very aware of how you are feeling internally, because what we don't realize is we do a lot of disservice to ourselves. And sometimes we don't understand why things are going haywire in our lives. And it's really because we have not been mindful of the negative self-talk that we have on a daily basis. I'm not even going to say monthly or yearly or quarterly basis, a daily basis. Look, I'm a makeup word, a secondly basis, a minutely basis. Every minute and every second that goes by, we are not accustomed to keeping our thoughts in check. And what that results to is a negative feeling. And a lot of times we're like, well, God, I'm not doing anything wrong. But no, honey, you have to be aware of what you've been feeding yourself throughout the days, minutes, and seconds. You have to be mindful of, okay, what about that time that you're walking down the stairs and you saw a little bit of your stomach flabbing and you just had a baby? You know, you are hard on yourself. You can't do that. You know what I'm saying? And we kind of brush it out of our mind because we're like, we don't check it and replace it with a positive affirmation. We right. just let it kind of drift away. But what we don't realize is it's drifting away into our subconscious mind. And when it's drifting away into your subconscious mind, that literally is becoming a part of your DNA. And the way that you conduct yourself moving forward, if you don't check that, is the results that you experience in your life as you navigate through life. So now when you're going in the grocery store the next day, you didn't replace that feeling of I am fat into, look, I am a beautiful being who just manifested life into this experience. I am a procreator. God told me to be fruitful and multiply, and I'm going to get back to myself when I need to, but I'm still a divine, beautiful human being. Since you didn't replace that floppy stomach with that affirmation, now you're going through Bilo and you see that girl with a newborn and a baby on her hip, and you know she's got her stomach flat, and now you're comparing her, but you don't know what kind of eating disorder she went through because of depression. You don't understand, you're not even thinking of, okay, what if she just lost someone who she loved, which has caused her to not be able to eat? Like, you don't know what's going on in that person's life experience.
But or just has different DNA.
That too. Or it's just literally just set up differently than you are. You know, you're not really checking your thoughts. You're not shifting your paradigm when you are navigating through life. So now life becomes miserable for you because you didn't check you.
Ooh, you have to check yourself.
You have to. You have to check yourself or you will wreck yourself. Girl, I had to take it all the way back there, but it's really true. We have to check ourselves. And a lot of us, we just think that since we're like, oh no, I'm not allowing that thought, that we're doing something great. But if you don't replace that with something valuable, you know, if you have a negative thought and you don't check that negative thought, then you're not really balancing that thought out. And it's going to sit right back there until you check it. And until you, you know, address those blocks that you have going on within you.
So it's not enough just to reject the negative thoughts. We have to literally replace them with something else.
You have to. You have to be intentional about everything.
Do nothing without intention.
Come on.
Like good sis Solange said.
Come on. Do nothing without intention. And if that means breaking down your segments in a day and taking 5 minutes to yourself, say you're on your way to a job interview. You owe it to yourself to give yourself 5 minutes prior to that interview to pump yourself up. If you don't, then you're just pretty much on cruise control. You just, you know, you're just gliding through. You're not really putting forth any effort or any intention to manifest whatever it is that you want.
I have to hype myself up. I learned that first in volleyball, because when I was at that net with me and my opponent, I had to tell myself, oh, I'm the best blocker in this gym. Like, yes. Nobody can see me. Like, I'm gonna get the most kills out of anybody in this game. Like, yes. I had to speak that way. But when I was rehearsing worry, when I was rehearsing doubt, those were the days that I didn't perform well. Yes. So how we think is directly correlated, not to just how we feel, but literally to the life that we live. And I've seen you do that. And that's why I wanted to talk to you a bit about manifestation, because you're someone who I really want to know about how you've got from, we won't talk about point A, B, and C, mm-hmm. but how you've gotten to the place, went from the place where you had to get yourself on your feet again. You started to work as a property manager at a very high level, and then also to going back to being working in your home and finding joy and fulfillment and in your family and building your family versus building, quote unquote, a career on the outside. So tell me a bit about that journey and how manifestation has brought you to where you are today.
Well, manifestation has brought me to where I am today by being intentional. Mm-hmm. So pretty much, like I said, when I had my first son, who will be 7 in November, I literally said, God, I got to give you me to you because I don't know what I'm doing. You know, and when I did that, I would start to receive, I call them downloads. I would start to receive downloads from God in my dreams, and he would lead me to different books that I would need to read, which ultimately led me to where I am now. And one of the affirmations that I wrote before it became popular was, I would like to create a life that I don't need a vacation from. And what I did was, I not only started to write affirmations, I started to dissect my affirmations. So instead of just writing that, I said, well, what does that mean? You know, does that mean freedom? Does that mean, you know, vacations every day? Like, what does that mean? And what that meant for me was, I don't mind working. I just really want to work for people who love me, you know, and who accept me and who mm-hmm. acknowledge me and who get me to my core. And so I wrote that affirmation down. And what ended up happening was when I met my husband, he owned a business, and we clicked like instantaneously. Mom hooked us up. That's another story mm-hmm. that will be discussed later. But anywho, you know, when we met or whatnot, I was, you know, still in the property management business. I had just gotten a promotion to district property manager, and I was still writing my affirmations down because I used the 369 method, which is pretty much you write down 3 intentions, you review them 6 times a day, and you focus on each of the 3 intentions for 9 seconds each. Okay.
Well, that is intentional if I've ever heard of something.
Yeah. So it was really specific. I was very intentional about being intentional, pretty much. So I dedicated myself to doing that every single day during, you know, before the time I met my husband and, you know, about maybe 90 days after or so. So like I said, we met, we got married, and during my career, when I got a promotion came with the move. And I was like, God, why are you moving us? Like, everybody loves my husband where we are. This is going to be like a drop in finances. What are you doing? So we ended up moving back to South Carolina, Columbia.
Which is the hometown that we know each other from.
Right, which is crazy because we were in Alabama and we moved back to Columbia, South Carolina at that due to my job. But Kendra, as soon as I got here, stuff started going crazy. And I'm like, now I know I was being intentional. I know I've been, you know, I wrote my 3 things. I visited it 6 times a day, looked at it for 9 seconds. What is going on, God? You know? And so I just knew something was wrong. Like maybe I wasn't doing it right, you know, whatever. So things started to hit the fan at my job. I became highly depressed, very depressed, not even myself. Didn't even want to put on makeup, nothing like that. So I would come home to my husband. I'd be like, babe, I'm sad, you know, and I would be in tears maybe every day for about maybe 60 days after I moved here. And I was like, man, I thought this was going to be a beautiful thing. I get to come back home. Like, this is beautiful. And one day my husband said, babe, why don't you just stop? And I was like, what do you mean stop? you know, I've been a hardworking, independent woman, you know, since 15, really. I got my first job when I was 15 years old, and I'm 28 now. So I was like, I can't quit. All I know is work, and that's what I'm going to do, you know? And he was like, but if it's not making you feel like the highest version of yourself, do you think maybe you need to reevaluate it? And I'm thinking, huh, he might be onto something. Maybe that's why we're together, you know? So I let it sit in for a week or so, and I was like, dang, like I did say that I wanted to create a life that I didn't need a vacation from and that I didn't mind working, but I wanted to work for or work with the people who I loved and who loved me the most. Maybe this is a sign, you know? So December 30th, 2019 was my last day of work. Didn't know what I was going to do, girl. Bills were still due. Things were still due. Like, didn't even know what was going to happen from it. But one day I was literally at work, and I think I had texted you guys in our little group text, right, Kendra? Mm-hmm. And I was like, y'all pray for me because I'm about to quit work and do real estate full time. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do real estate full time. But then when things kind of settled in, I was like, man, I'm pregnant. I'm not really going to be able to dedicate my life to real estate full time. Maybe my family is who I should dedicate my life to, kind of, because they do love me, respect me. There's like a mutual, you know, love there. So why not? Wow. And so I ended up finding out, okay, well, this is what it was. And girl, when I tell you we have manifested more money with me being home than when him and I were both working.
Wow.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, I'm going to tell you one instance. We literally had $13,000 come to us as a gift out of nowhere. Like, wow. 3 months into me quitting my job. When we were like, we don't even know how this is going to happen. You know, and it was that and then some. And so ever since then, we've kind of been doing an amazing job, and I have no regrets. And I'm finally realizing that, okay, girl, well, what you wrote down, manifested, you didn't think it was going to come in that form, but here it is. Here it is.
It's so funny.
It's a beautiful thing.
When we get what we say, but we didn't know it was going to look like that.
Right. Exactly. 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 But now that I look back at it, it is exactly what I asked for. And I'm happy. I'm fulfilled. And it ain't for everybody, but I'm starting to learn maybe it was for me. And I never thought that. But here I am. And it's amazing.
I love that, because it's true that it isn't for everybody, but for those that it is for, I really think that it's so important to have pride in work in the home, you know, and whether that's what you're doing for this season or whether that's what you decide to do long term, I do think that that's something that's been a bit lost in the midst of the millennial hustle grind LLC culture.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there are ways to still also be profitable within the home and non-traditionally outside of, you know, non-traditionally as far as a career, traditional career goes. So I love that you're doing that. And you are actually about to launch something in regards to this, right? Tell me a little bit about that.
So on Friday, I launched my YouTube channel called The Melanated Homemaker, and it's not just for stay-at-home moms. It's also for moms that are working but like to take care of home and are pretty much trying to find balance, because it's kind of taboo to talk about stay-at-home brown, black mamas. Like, mm-hmm. It really is. Like, it's kind of just dissipated over the years. It's just nobody wants to do it, talks about it. It's being seen as you're inferior, but in other communities, it's a bragging right.
Right.
And so,
girl,
yeah,
girl.
In other communities, it's a bragging right. So, you know, So I'll be diving deep into that and, you know, just giving words of encouragement and, you know, just talking about the bogus, lame expectations that are put on moms, on especially melanated moms. And so, yeah, it'll be launching on Friday and I'm excited about it. So
The Melanated Homemaker. Girl, I can't wait to see it.
Yes, I'm excited.
Because there is a lot to be proud of for prioritizing your family and doing the work that needs to be done in the home. And I'm so proud of you and where you are today.
Aww, thank you,
boo. And I'm so excited. Proud of you too. Thank you. And I'm excited for where you're going, girl.
Thank you, girl. And I'm excited for you and where you are going as well, girl. And you know, it's always, always love. Always. Pure love, pure positive energy and vibrations, girl.
Oh, man, I could talk to you about this all night, but for the sake of time, I'm going to let that be it. So is there anything else that you want to share with anyone about your journey, about the art of manifestation, about being a melanated homemaker?
Girl, all I have to say is anything that you believe, you are right. That's all I have to say.
Well, amen to that.
And that's it, girl. That's all I got.
Love you, Hope.
I love you too, girl.
So many takeaways with my childhood friend, Hope Frazier. Oh my goodness, where do I even begin? I love her story of, it's kind of a redemption story, right? Of just bouncing back. I love that she said that life is going to be good because she decided that life is going to be good. And I think we all need to make that decision ourselves. I also love the intentionality that she had about manifesting the life that she wants. Like, you really have to believe in the power of your words and put it out there. And putting it out there not only does stuff on a supernatural level that we can't explain, but putting stuff out there, it keeps our focus together. Putting stuff out there into the universe with intention keeps our eye on the prize. And that's really how we have to live our lives. I also love that she said that sacrifice is always the start of something good and something beautiful. And that was definitely a good reminder for me because I know that I need to be a bit more disciplined in some areas. And I'm constantly asking for discipline, but really it's just having to be willing to sacrifice, right? Like, you think you want more discipline, but actually you're just being reluctant to sacrifice for the greater good of whatever that is, whether you need discipline in your eating or your exercise or showing up at work, whatever the case is, it's really all about sacrifice. And I love her Southern girl accent. She is a true Southern belle. And finally, in regards to contentment, I love her peace with where she is today in life. Whether you are on a career journey, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're a caretaker, or you feel like you've arrived when it comes to the career things that you want to do, Hope is really at a place where she sees so much value in where she is today. And I think that's the biggest takeaway, is to have value in where you are today, right now, in this moment, while you're on the journey to being where you want to be. So thank you so much again for listening to the Styling Soul podcast. And as always, I will see you right back here next week.